Go to Romans chapter 6. We'll be in Romans chapter 6 this morning. Romans chapter 6, reading verses 17 through 23, as we talk about and look at our freedom in Christ Jesus. So Romans chapter 6, verse 17 through 23. And the Bible says, "But my God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for the day that you've given us. We thank you for the freedom we have in Christ, Lord, that our sin debt's been paid for, the chains have been broken. Father, we're no longer in bondage. We've been led out of bondage, Father, and we have the privilege of following Jesus Christ each and every day. Father, thank you for just the freedom that we have in Christ. We thank you for heaven that we look forward to. Father, we thank you for the days that we have on this earth to enjoy you in our life and to walk with you and to talk with you. And Father, we thank you again for the freedom that we have in this country. Help us, Lord, to continue to pray that we would continue to have the freedoms that we have, to be able to openly come to a church building and be able to worship you freely and openly. And I thank you, Father, that you have given us your word that we can freely open and read, and we can follow your word as it is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, it gives us wisdom for our life. It gives us direction. And we thank you, Father, we have the freedom of being able to have a Bible. Help us to cherish the things that you've given us. And especially, Lord, help us to cherish the freedom, the liberty that we have in Christ. Father, thank you for that relationship that we have, because Jesus Christ was willing to go to the cross and willingly lay down his life and shed his blood for the remission of sin, that you and I, that we, not you, Lord, but us, that, Father, that people could have, Lord, that freedom in Christ when they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I ask that you would please bless the children in Junior Church. Father, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Obviously, on today, we celebrate our freedom as a country. 245 years of freedom, breaking, I guess you could say, breaking the chain from England and becoming a country that was built upon having liberty and having freedom, the freedom and liberty to serve and worship God according to his word. And there were many of those that left their homeland in search of freedom and coming to this place wanting to have freedom. Their heart's desire was to be able to worship God without any persecution, without any interference from a hierarchy, without there being a government church telling them how to worship and where to go to worship. And many people lost their lives doing exactly what they believed God would have them do, and that is to worship him freely. And many would come to this country over the years and come for that religious freedom to be able to come and serve God and worship God. And along the way, many lost their lives seeking that freedom and having a desire for that freedom. Many would lay down their life willingly to protect what our forefathers had given us. Obviously, God guiding and directing it, and God giving victory, as we even sang about that, just the victory our country has had. And there's always been evil that's come against our country. And we have defended our country throughout the years. And again, people have lost their lives because they believed in the freedom that people could have in this country. And this morning, I want to look at and talk about the freedom that we have in Christ. And many have lost their lives seeking that freedom and living for that freedom and trying to keep that freedom alive, the freedom in Jesus Christ. That anybody that would come to Jesus Christ, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. And again, many have lost their lives throughout the years, throughout the centuries, because of that heart's desire to want to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ and having put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And again, you just we'll see some correlation between our founding fathers and those that came to this country in the beginning and the life of a believer. Because when you look in verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, you and I will see and discover an obedient decision. There was a decision made by many to leave what they knew to go in search of what they had heard would be freedom, coming to this country. And yet many have made the decision from a heart to serve God and to give their life to the Lord. So you look at verse 17 of Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." As Paul writes to these believers in Rome, he reminds them, and really no one has to be reminded of where they came from by anybody else, but sometimes we have to remind ourselves that I haven't always been saved. I haven't always been living my life for the Lord. There was a day in my life where I made a decision to be obedient to the truth that I was hearing and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And Paul here, as he talks to believers at Rome, he says, "But God be thanked." And we need to thank the Lord for the freedom that we have in Christ, for the life that's been changed from the inside out, and for what God is doing in our life even to this day. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart." He thanks God that they obeyed from the heart. It is a decision from the heart to follow what you know is right, what you're hearing to be true, and that is that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. Again, when you think about what we're celebrating today as a nation, there were those that made a decision from the heart because they believed in their heart that they needed to come out of Egypt and go into the promised land where they could willingly, faithfully, without any restraint, serve and worship the God of heaven, their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And they made that decision and they followed that decision based on their heart's desire to want to worship God without any restraint. Now again, when they came to this country, they were met with restraints. The 13 colonies, there would be those that would try to suppress anybody that did not worship the way that they did. So they kind of, there were those that were following in, I'll say, the evil footsteps of where they had come from, because they did not understand the full liberty that God gives us to be able to worship him in spirit and truth and according to his word. But there has to be, if you and I want to follow the Lord and be obedient to the Lord, our hearts have to be obedient. There must be an obedient decision from our heart. Again, as he mentions that they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And that doctrine he speaks about is the doctrine of salvation. Take your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 10. Again, I want to just this morning remind us, and for the most part, I believe everybody in this room this morning knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have professed him to be your Savior. And we want to celebrate our freedom, not only as a nation and as an American, but we want to celebrate our freedom in Jesus Christ as a Christian, as a child of God, as a born-again believer, reminding ourselves, again, many, many today are celebrating Independence Day without even a thought of why we celebrate Independence Day. Many people think about, oh, it's a holiday, it's gathering together with family, it's having, you know, many people will have Monday off, many had Friday off, and they're just enjoying the long extended vacation without even thinking about that the only reason that we have this day to celebrate is because there were those who followed their heart's desire to serve God, and they were faithful to the end of their life. And our forefathers, obviously, giving us our Independence of Declaration, that document that said that they were breaking the yoke of England. They were breaking the chains and becoming a country of its own, a free nation. Obviously, that brought war. Because you know what? Whenever you decide to follow Christ and to do what's right, there's going to be a battle. There's going to be a spiritual battle for the Christian who decides to totally unify themselves with God and follow God and do the will of God. The adversary is always going to come after and make war with you and make war with me, just as our forefathers faced wars in their lifetime because they believed in freedom. They believed in people having the freedom to worship and to follow God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, when you look at Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, again, we're reminded of this wonderful truth, a wonderful truth that every single soul must make a decision from their heart, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You understand, you have experienced that freedom that was given to you on that day that you cried out to Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. However you did it, whatever words you used, because there's not a set of words that we have to repeat in order to be saved. It's simply putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what he did. But in your own way, you cried out to Christ, you asked him to come into your life, and you were liberated. You felt freedom in your life, being born again into the family of God. Again, I remember very vividly the day that I cried out to Jesus Christ to come into my life, and just the excitement that I had within my soul and just the peace that I had on that night at that moment when I finally felt a weight being lifted off of me. And many have testified after calling on Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, they felt like a weight had been lifted. Because everybody carries the weight of sin when they enter into this world. Because sin passes upon every single person born into this world. And as we live our life, as people live their life, man, that weight just gets heavier and heavier and heavier until they come to that place where God has drawn them and he drew you and me to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and letting us know that Jesus Christ paid the sin debt, we don't need to carry the guilt anymore. We don't need to live in bondage to sin. And the moment that you and I and anybody calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved when they believe from their heart and they believe that the sin debt's been paid for. I no longer have to live my life trying to earn my way to heaven, trying to do good deeds, trying to be a perfect person I can never be, but putting my faith and trust in the perfect one, Jesus Christ. It is an obedient decision, and it's a decision that nobody regrets. I don't think anybody has ever regretted being saved and having Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and having a place prepared for them in heaven. When you think about just a decision from the heart, as he says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. This obedient decision is a decision from the heart, and it's a decision for the truth. There's no other truth that points to salvation other than the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In while we were yet sinners. God does not expect anybody to turn their life around and to become perfect before Christ will save them and come into their life. Again, the Bible reminds us, right? And what a beautiful reminder that God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, because God knew and God knows that no one can turn their life around. Nobody can save themselves. But Jesus Christ can come and dwell inside of every believer and turn their life upside, turn it upside right, turn it around and give us the life that he wants us to have, that abundance of life. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, a decision for the truth. The truth is that we serve a risen Savior. I mean, today, again, as we celebrate as a nation our freedom, yet as a child of God, as a born-again believer, as a Christian, every day of our life we should be celebrating our freedom from sin, our freedom from the clutches of our adversary. The fact we should be celebrating our victory, the victory that freedom in Christ has brought us, that every single one of us has victory. Keep a finger in Romans, but go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Most people, and I say most people that come to the United States of America are coming forth the pursuit of happiness and liberty and freedom. There are some that come into our country looking to cause our country harm, looking to cause people harm. That's the way the adversary works. But many are coming to our country because they want to be in the land of the free. They want to have the freedom to live their life. And many want to live their life for the Lord and enjoy the freedoms of going to a church openly without looking over their shoulders, wondering if the secret police are about to come in and haul them off. I mean, be thankful this morning that you have the freedom to be in church, because there are pastors currently sitting in jail in Canada that I've already mentioned because they refuse to close their churches during the time when COVID was promoted the highest. And they refused to close their churches, and yet they found themselves sitting in prison. After proving that nobody was sick, keeping the social distance, I mean, just following all the mandates, but they wanted to be together as God's people to worship God freely. And they put up a barrier around the church to keep God's people out of the church, and yet the pastor and all those that willingly wanted to meet met in a secret place. And yet, they sent helicopters to look for them and found them. And when the service was over, they went to the pastor's home and arrested him, and he's in prison. Thank God that you have the freedom, and I have the freedom right now to go to church willingly. And you chose to be in church on the Lord's Day because you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must believe that he's worth living for. And it's a decision for the truth. What we have is truth. God's given us the truth of his word because we have believed on Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Again, when you think about 1 Corinthians chapter 15, think about just the freedom that you have in Christ based on these verses. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I this morning, as the children of God, being born again by the Spirit of God, have victory through Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Everybody has their opinion. but who do you say Jesus is? Because he turned to his disciples and said, he asked this question, and they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, confessing Jesus Christ as the Son of the living God, confessing Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah, receiving Christ as his Savior. So with an obedient decision, coming from an obedient heart, we have believed on the truth that Jesus Christ gives us freedom from sin. He's broken the chains of sin because he has shed his blood for the remission of sin. And we are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. I want you to look back at Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 18. Again, praising the Lord for the freedom that you have in Christ, that you're still not in bondage, that the devil still does not have a noose around your neck dragging you helplessly to the pits of hell, but Jesus Christ has come, and with his shed blood and crying out, it is finished, the chain has been broken, the noose has been removed. We have freedom in Christ, and we have a living Savior that we serve. In verse 18 of Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I love that. Become the servants of righteousness. We once were sold under slavery. We were in bondage to sin, could not deliver ourselves. And really, at times, even committing sin when we didn't want to, because we have a sin nature. Because we were born with a sin nature and giving our life over to the devil at different times and just giving more and more place to the devil, allowing him to have more and more power in a life. That's why Paul says in verse 17 that ye were the servants of sin. There were a time in our life we were the servants of sin. We could not but serve sin. Yeah, I told you that there was a time in my life where I started smoking at a very young age. And by the time that I was in my early 20s, I mean, there were days where I would smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day. And just, there were times I tried to quit, wanted to quit. And I tried everybody's philosophy, you know, cut off a straw, keep a straw in your pocket. When you feel like taking out a cigarette, take the straw out, suck on the straw. Or when you feel like smoking a cigarette, chew a piece of gum. And I did those things. I got to the point where I was chewing a whole pack of gum in half a day because my body craved that nicotine. I had the worst attitude. I was angry about everything until I got that cigarette and smoked it. And then, I caved in to the sin. I fed the sin and thought, that's what I needed. But it wasn't until I met Jesus Christ and gave my life to him and asked him to break that chain, to remove that desire within my heart, that sinful desire, that he gave me victory. He gave me freedom from that. And from, I forget if I was 21 or 22, what age I was, asked my wife, she remembers everything. But from that moment till this moment, I've never had a desire to pick up another pack of cigarettes. In fact, I asked the Lord to give me a strong distaste for it and a strong hatred for it. And he's done just that because he has delivered me from the chains of sin. I'm no longer a servant to sin, but a servant to righteousness, to be able to serve the Lord and have that heart's desire to want to serve the Lord and to follow the Lord and to do the things that God calls us to do. But verse 18 again says, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Never, ever, ever, ever say as a child of God, the devil made me do it. Many people say that. Many people pass the blame on the devil made me do it. No, we do what we want to do. We do what we choose to do. And just as myself, I chose to do something that was destroying my body, thinking that it was making me happy, thinking it was making me better, helping me to be calm, when in fact it was not making me be calm. It was giving more and more place to the devil to do his dirty work in my life, as he does in the lives of sinners. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. In verse 18, we just see that every single person can experience a full deliverance in Jesus Christ. A full deliverance. Jesus does not save partially, but he saves completely. You're not robed in his righteousness with just the sleeve of his righteousness. You're robed completely in the robe of righteousness when you call upon Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. It is a full deliverance when there is an obedient decision from the heart to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, never let it get old. Never let your salvation get old to where you don't care anymore about it. It's not a big deal. The Israelites got to a place in their life where they abhorred the manna from heaven, God's food, God providing for his people there in the desert, manna from heaven, as they call it, angels' food. And they got to a point where, you know, they were tired of that, and they wanted something different. They had eaten this way for quite some time, and they wanted something different. Don't allow yourself, and I definitely don't want to allow myself, to get to a place where, you know what, I abhor the things of God. And salvation, yeah, that was great for the day that I received it from the Lord, but hey, I want something different. I want something that will give me more freedom to live my life how I want to. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from our adversary, who wants us to think that God's holding back from us, that there's something more. You know what? There is something more. He always will twist what God wants for us. He'll twist in our minds the truth. There is a lot more to life. There's a lot more to our relationship in Jesus Christ, and that's why Paul even talked about wanting to know Christ more, and he talked about wanting to win Christ, because he knew there was so much more to this abundant life that Jesus promised than what I'm experiencing right now. But he gives us a full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Look at Romans chapter 3 and verses 23 through 26. Again, as he says in Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, and you and I have been made free. Again, the chains have been broken. We have a full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 26, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not a single person is born that is perfect and sinless. Everybody is born with a sin nature. And there comes an age of accountability. And you cannot put an age, you can't put a number on it, because only God knows when a child is understanding and ready to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I've had the privilege to see a five-year-old put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I've had a privilege to see older people as well. But all are born with a sin nature. All can experience the freedom in Christ and experience the full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Romans 3, again, 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus Christ. Our sin debt, we know, has been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have received a full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Jesus said in John chapter 8, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Full deliverance. And I am thankful, as I am sure you are this morning, of your full deliverance through Jesus Christ, that your sin has been paid for, that you have a life that's worth living, a life that the Lord wants to walk with you and me in, a life that can be, that we can use to testify of the freedom that Christ can bring into any person's life. And as I stand here and just remember the demoniac of Gadara, the man that was possessed with thousands of demons, as the Bible testifies that when Jesus gave leave of those demons and he allowed them to leave the man and to go into the herd of swine, the Bible records it was roughly 2,000 swine that perished in the sea, letting us know that this man's life was so out of control, but yet in control of the devil and all the demons. And that man that was crying in the at night, running through the tombs, cutting himself, the townspeople could not contain him. He'd break the fetters, he'd pluck the chains. I mean, had this just abundance of strength because of the demonic power in his life. And yet when Jesus Christ stepped out of the boat onto the shore, that day that man's life was changed instantly. As the Bible records it, that unnamed man whose life was beyond human repair, but yet not beyond God's repair, and that man comes to Jesus and falls upon his face. And Jesus, obviously, he speaks to the demon and he eventually casts the demon out, and that man's life is changed. And the Bible testifies a full deliverance. As the townspeople came out after hearing about the herd of swine running off the cliff and drowning, and coming and seeing with their own eyes this man whose life was totally out of control, on the brink of death, on the brink of eternal damnation, being cast into a lake of fire for eternity, yet on this day, Jesus Christ came into his life, and they saw with their own eyes a man sitting clothed in his right mind. Because when Jesus delivers, he gives a full deliverance. Now I'll tell you, Jesus gives deliverance, but do we want that deliverance? Do we want God to give us deliverance from things in our life? Because then I can testify that the Lord gave me a deliverance from smoking. I mean, on that night, it was instant. It was instant. Because as soon as my pastor left my home, man, the shirt I had on, I had to rip it off and throw it away because it stunk so bad of cigarette smoke. And all through my years, people say, hey, you smell like smoke. I'd be like, no, I don't. But on that night, man, my nostrils were opened and I could smell it, and I cast it out. And I went and got my favorite smoking jacket that I had and threw that out, threw the ashtray out. I mean, just anything I smell smoke, someone would say, well, why don't you just try washing it? No, throwing it out, because if I kept it, it was a reminder. And I didn't want that. I threw it out. And then over time, God showed me things I needed to get rid of. I had the heavy metal music that I listened to, and I thought I'd gotten rid of all the CDs, and God kind of showed me and reminded me, well, you know what? In this coffee table in the back, there were some CDs I had forgotten about. And I don't think there's any CDs in here. I opened it up, pulled all the junk out, because it was just a place to store junk. Pulled all the junk out, and sure enough, I think there was like 4 or 5 CDs. I got those, broke them, threw them away. And again, some might say, well, you should have sold those. You could have made money. The Bible tells us in Acts that in a certain city, those that were given over to sorcery, when Christ was preached to them by Paul and they gave their life to the Lord, that they brought all their sorcery books. They brought all their demonic everything that they had that they were using for the devil, they brought it, and instead of selling it to other people, they burned it. Because if God's changed my life, I don't want to give what was evil in my life to somebody else. I want to burn it as a sacrifice to the Lord, as a thanksgiving to the Lord that he's changed my life. He has given me a full deliverance. Again, Jesus says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is, we know that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the foundation that we are to build our life upon. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. May I tell you what? The grace of God that brought salvation. The grace of God that has delivered us with a full deliverance from the penalty of sin. Not only did it give us a deliverance from the penalty of sin, but a deliverance to be able to serve God. That's what he says back in Romans chapter 6 and verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Once you were the servant of sin. Now you're the servants of righteousness. And we ought to serve the Lord and serve God's will and allow the Lord to have our way, to be that living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service because of what he's done. Why do so many men and women give up their life and give up their time to serve in our military? It's their way of giving back to their country. They believe in this country. They believe in the freedom that we have in this country. And they want to help preserve that freedom by being ready when they're called upon to defend our nation, and even to go into other countries and to defend other people as well. But you and I have this freedom to be able to willingly serve God when he calls upon us. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us. Again, many have given their lives for us to continue to enjoy this freedom. Because of our forefathers, we've had 245 years of freedom as a nation that is governed by its own body. And no other country rules over us. We have the freedom that we have because there were some that stood up for that, and there were many that gave their life to defend it, and many today give their life to defend it. And Jesus Christ gave his life to bring freedom into a sin-cursed world, and more so into a sinner's life, to free that sinner from the chains of bondage, to give an abundance of life and to give that liberty to be able to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, he says in Titus chapter 2, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. A full deliverance from the penalty of sin. I will, and you will, all that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ will never ever stand before the great white throne judgment of God to be condemned to the lake of fire, because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who's given us the freedom that we have. Freedom from the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from the penalty of sin, and we've been given that great privilege to willingly give our life to serve God, just as men and women willingly give their lives to serve our country. Not just in the military, but there's all kinds of ways that people serve this country because they believe in this country. Yes, there are those that want to tear this country down and destroy it from the inside out. Listen, that's life. That's the way this world is. This world is not the home of God's people. We are the pilgrims just passing through. We are headed to our heavenly city. We're headed to that kingdom that's been prepared for us by our King. We are looking forward to being in eternity with our Lord and Savior. But again, reminding ourselves that we have the freedom in Jesus Christ. I want you to look back at Romans 6, and let's look at verse 23 as we again come to the close of thinking about and looking at the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, because it took an obedient decision on your part to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and it took a willing heart. It took an obedient heart to be able to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And now that he has allowed us and he's given us that full deliverance, you and I, as God's people, we have a determined destiny that we look to. Everybody has a destiny. Everyone that's born in this world, there's a destiny that they're headed to. And along this road of life, we all, every single person, will have thoughts of dreams, desires, things they want to do, places they want to go, what they want to do with their life. Children are always thinking about, oh, when I grow up, I want to be a fire truck. I had one of my children said, I want to be a fire truck. And I knew they were talking, they wanted to be a fireman. But everyone has their own desires. But the end of life, there's only two destinies, heaven or hell. And it's a choice that has to be made before we get to that place, before we get to the end of the destiny. In verse 23, we're reminded as God's people what we deserve. Never forget, freedom is not free. Freedom always costs somebody something. Again, many lives have been willingly given in our country so that we could retain the freedoms that we have. And Jesus Christ laid down his life so that we could receive the freedom of salvation. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death." That's what we deserve, is death. We deserve a separation from God because of being born a sinner. In Romans 5:12, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Never forget that you have freedom in Christ because Jesus Christ laid down his life. Never forget that, you know what? If it wasn't for Jesus Christ, I would not have life. I would be headed to the destiny that I deserve as a sinner. Again, like I said in the beginning, many are celebrating the 4th of July without even thinking about what the meaning is and what the truth is behind why we celebrate Independence Day. And there are many that go through their life, go through their Christian life, without even thinking about why they even have salvation. Not even remembering that there was the day that Christ came into their life and showed them and showed me my need of a Savior. There was a day in our life that we were showed by the Lord through His Spirit, by His Word, that if we did not put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we would be doomed to a place of darkness, a place of torture, a place where there is not the love of God, is not the peace of God, and that place is called hell in the Bible. That's what we deserve. We deserve that place because of being a sinner. In Revelation chapter 20, take your Bibles and go to Revelation chapter 20. Because again, many people even take advantage of the freedom that they have in this country. Many don't even care what happens with this country, who are living in this country. And many take advantage of what God has done in their life through Jesus Christ and don't care about what Jesus has done and don't even think about Jesus on a daily basis. Now, I praise the Lord that you and I can never lose our salvation, because we did nothing to gain it. It was freely given to us. But just like in our country, again, as we celebrate Independence Day, it's not been without wars and battles in our country. Our country goes to other countries and fights battles and stuff, but we've had our own battles within our country. Political battles, civil wars, all kinds of things. And again, with our country, some have the mindset that they don't care what happens to the country. And it's proven and it's shown over the years how our country has walked away from the values and truths of God's Word. Our country was founded upon God's Word. The Declaration of Independence was written around the truth of God's Word. The men that signed it, many of them were pastors. They were followers of Jesus Christ. But over the ages, as you get away from the beginning of a great nation, see what happens when you're not a part of something great as the signing of the Declaration of Independence. You get to a place where, okay, whatever. But our country now supports abortion, supports gay marriage, is anti-Christ, anti-Bible, yet our country was founded upon truth. And yet our country as a whole is against truth. Now there's a remnant, praise God, of God's people who still stand upon truth and still believe in biblical values and biblical truth, and they are building their life upon that. But listen, let's never forget that what we have, we did not pay for. You and I did not pay for what our founding fathers gave us with the help and obviously the deliverance and sovereignty of God. You and I have received salvation through Jesus Christ, not because of what we did, but because of the love of God. In Revelation chapter 20, if you're there, look at verses 12 through 15. As John sees this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their work. So everything we do from the moment we take our first breath in this world to the moment we take our last breath in this world, it's all recorded in God's book. And the Bible says in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. Stopping right there for a moment, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've been spared and delivered from the second death. And so have I. That second death, listen, every person dies. As the Bible records and as God states, every person will be resurrected to face the final judgment, to be cast either into a lake of fire are to be able to enter into those pearly gates, to enter into his glory, to be able to live eternity. Can't even fathom that. An eternity of complete joy and happiness with the Lord. But don't forget, yes, we have freedom in Christ, we have the gift of salvation, but also, I've been spared that second death. I've been spared the great judgment of God. I've been spared from the great wrath of God that's going to be poured out on this earth in the last days. In that verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank God this morning that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And because your name is written, listen, there were those that on that day, 245 years ago, they were determined to have independence. They were determined to have freedom. And then there was a moment where these men signed their names to that document, their own signature. But you and I did not write our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's one that records the name of every person that calls upon Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. Never to be blotted out, never to be erased. Your name and my name written forever in God's Declaration of Independence, God's Declaration of Freedom and Liberty for the soul that's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. God signs our name in that book. And one day you and I will stand before our Savior as that book is opened up and as it's looked through and your name is found. Ah, yes, here it is. Troy Lane Middleton. I don't know what else is written in the book. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe my physical birthday, and then maybe my spiritual birthday. I have no idea, but I'm just glad that my name is written in that book. And that's something to thank the Lord and to praise the Lord about this morning, that your name is written in the most important book, and that is the Lamb's Book of Life. And because your name is written there, you and I have eternal life. Again, he says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I, what we deserve is an eternal separation from God, but yet what we have received because we followed the truth with an obedient heart and we called upon the name of the Lord and we believed that God said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's exactly what you and I did, and everybody else within the sound of my voice did as well. That's a child of God. And you and I received that gift that we could not purchase ourselves. We could not do anything for, but it was a free gift given to us by God himself. Look at 1 John chapter 5. A couple more verses will be done. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11 through 13. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11 through 13, you and I and everybody who has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ has received the gift of eternal life. The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Just as we have the record of the Declaration of Independence, the record of the Bill of Rights, and all the other government records that testify that we are a free nation, and we govern ourselves and we willingly elect officials to be in an office to do good for our country, there's a record in heaven that testifies of my freedom and your freedom in Jesus Christ. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. You and I, based on our faith in Jesus Christ, have received that eternal life, and there is a record that states that nobody can disregard, nobody can contest. It is a record that has been written in eternity that you have received Christ as your Savior, and you have freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ to live your life for him, to serve him, and to allow him to live his life through you. In John 14, 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. All because Jesus Christ was willing to lay down his life for us, we have this freedom of eternal security. We have this freedom to be able to serve God and to allow God to work in our life. Again, many are wasting the freedom, just as many are wasting their freedom in this country. I mean, why commit crimes that would cause you to be incarcerated for the rest of your life? And you don't have the freedoms anymore to live an abundant life in America. But as a Christian, why waste the freedom that you've been given and allow yourself back in bondage and back in slavery to the ways of the devil because we're not walking in the Spirit? We're not walking in the truth of God's Word. We're not allowing God to live through us. As Paul states in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Wonderful thing that since he gave us our freedom through salvation, boy, he takes up that residence in us. He lives within us. to help us to live that abundant life, to help us to experience the freedoms that he has given us, to experience the joys of life. Again, as we celebrate Independence Day, let us also celebrate our independence from the penalty of sin, our independence from the clutches of the devil, and the freedoms that we have in Christ, and obviously the blessings. There's blessings living in this country. There's also multitudes of blessings of living a life that's surrendered to Christ, a life that is given over to God, a life that has said, Lord, I believe that thou art the Son of God. Just as that thief did on the cross, and he heard those sweet words, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Many have heard the sweet voice of Christ as they cried out to him for salvation. Many have experienced that overwhelming peace that floods the soul after crying out to Christ. But again, I know just as in 245 years, I mean, we are just a young country, very young country. Yet many are not enjoying that freedom. Many are not enjoying the liberty and the independence that comes with being in a free country. And they're in bondage. Yet many of God's people are in bondage because they've stopped enjoying God. They've stopped walking with God. They think that they know the direction they're headed. They think they know what's best for their life, but I'm here to tell you, I don't know what's best for my life, but God does. I'm here to remind us that you have freedom in Christ. Don't allow yourself not to enjoy that freedom in Christ, but to continue walking with the Lord, to continue enjoying the Lord. And don't take for granted what God's done for you. Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for what you have done in the lives of your people, what you've done in the lives of sinners. And how, Lord, we, and I say we as every person in this entire world that's ever put their faith and trust in Christ, Lord, we once were servants to sin, but now we've been made to be servants unto righteousness, freely being able to faithfully follow a faithful Savior. Now we have the liberty not to live our life how we want, but to live our life according to your will. And Father, may we be that living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. May we have that attitude, that heart, that mindset that, Lord, you've given me this freedom and I want to live my life for you, however you call me to live my life for you. But Father, may we continue to stand for truth and liberty through Jesus Christ. Our country has always up and down. We never know what the next presidential election will bring. We never know what the next president will do to our country. But Father, we absolutely know what Jesus Christ will always do for us, because it's recorded in your word that he'll always do the will of God. He'll always lead us in the right direction. He will always give us the encouragement we need, and he will always give us the victories that we so desire in our life over sin and over difficulties. As the piano begins to play, I want to give you a few moments alone in prayer. As you continue to pray, I want to talk to those that may not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, because I can't always take for granted that every single person is saved, whether in this auditorium or whether watching via online. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to do what we could not do for ourselves, and that is to pay for our sin. That is, the wages of sin is death. Jesus Christ, because of the love of the Father, came to die for the sins of the world. And simply put, he says, if you'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith and trust in his death on the cross, that it was the full payment for your sin, and that he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again to prove that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that he is the victor over sin and has the keys of death and hell. If you'll put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, he promised that whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful day it would be that someone would cry out to Christ and receive the freedom from the penalty of sin, receive the freedom from the bondage of slavery, and to walk in freedom with Christ. May that be